We have this American church that's largely impotent, powerless, country club. Oh, they didn't have pumpkin spice coffee in the church coffee bar this morning. I got all bent out of shape. My best friend didn't say hi to me. Someone took my parking space. Then they spilled my coffee on me. My day is ruined. Hey, get your mind off yourself and put your mind on Jesus.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch at This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to Acts chapter 1, looking at verse 8, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, Who Do You Witness For?
God, you speak right now. And to you be the praise, to you be the glory. And we pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of King Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. Take your Bible, go to the New Testament book of Acts. Looking at Acts chapter 1, a very familiar text there. Acts chapter 1, going to read several verses, just camp out on one here this morning to understand deeply what we are to do in this life. And what's so beautiful about God's Word and what God's Word does in the transformed life, and as He takes you and as He rocks your world, and as you become radically rescued in Him, and He takes you from the power of Satan to the power of God, as He begins to transform your life and make you a new creation. The Word says that the old man has passed away, all things have become new. You begin to walk in that fullness and that holiness as He's sanctifying you, this ongoing change. I don't know about you, but aren't you glad that the Word of God is sufficient in your life today? But like the Word of God, you don't have to add to it. You don't have to take away. The world does that all the time. Even inside the church, many times we see that going on. We don't have to take away nor add to the Word of God. It is sufficient in all of its beauty. That God didn't make any mistakes. Oh no, you know, I meant to say this, but you know, I kind of got distracted by my social media I was working on at the time. And oh no, you know, I got to go back and try to undo this stuff. That's not how God works. No, God's powerful. His Word is powerful. You got to understand this today, church family, that the Word of God is not changed. You got to understand this today, church family, that the grass withers, but the flower fades, but the Word of my God will stand forever. In a hopeless, helpless culture, they're wondering where the truth is. I'll tell you where the truth is. His name is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Definite articles, not a way, not a truth, not a life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through Him. You go, that sounds very exclusive. It is, period. All roads don't lead to heaven. We don't all, you know, exit this life and end up in the Disneyland in the sky. It's only through the righteous royal blood of King Jesus that you can be set free from you. Paul said it like this, that I was determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in much fear and trembling. I did not use persuasive words of human wisdom. Here's why. So that your faith would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We got so many people running around today, even inside the church house, that are anchored to the wisdom of men. And they're wondering why their life is a wreck. They're wondering why they're on a hamster wheel going nowhere. They're wondering why they're in a cul-de-sac going nowhere. It's the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit that will guide and lead. And where God guides, He provides. Where He leads, He feeds. Acts chapter 1. You know this. You probably have it embroidered on a pillow at home, I'm sure. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but going to read verses 1 through 7 as well. I hope you have a Bible open. and perhaps something to write with. Acts 1, verse 1, the former account, of course this is volume 2 from Dr. Luke, Gospel of Luke, Acts. I made, O Theophilus, that name's interesting, it means friend of God, of all that Jesus began, don't miss this, both to do and teach. Interesting. Both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, don't miss that, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now look at verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive. Jesus is alive, amen? After his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That was kind of the prologue. Let's look at the next few verses, the Holy Spirit promise. Verse 4, and being assembled together, we're assembled together today, it's a good thing, with them, he commanded them. Don't miss that. Not a suggestion. Jesus is commanding not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now look at verse 6 as we journey into our verse 8. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Interesting question. Verse 7, and he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but here's what you need to focus on is what he's saying. Verse 8, but you shall receive power, don't miss that, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, capital M, in Jerusalem, and all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And may God add his blessings to the reading of his word. Amen. Amen. The message title today is simply this: who do you witness for? The reality is this: everyone in this room today, me at the top of the list, we are all witnessing for someone or something. Like, you don't get to sit this one out. You don't get to go, well, you know, Jesus, appreciate you and all you do, but I think I'm going to just tap out on this one and go take a break on the bench. No, no, no. You are witnessing for something or someone. Like your life, my life, as we go out each and every day, we are a billboard for something or someone. People are either seeing Christ in you or they're not. We don't get a free pass on this. I've said this multitude of times, maybe even here, I don't know, but think about this. If God's purpose in your life and my life was just radically to rescue us, to free us from the enemy of self, and that we would go to heaven and be with him, which, by the way, that's a really good deal, amen? Like, I sign up for that train, amen? That's a good thing, right? But if that's the only purpose in your life, why are you still here? Is it to go live in the gated community? Like, is that really what Jesus wants? Like, is it so that you can get the corner office and make much of you? The whole point is that we would decrease, he would increase, and we'd make much of him as people look at us in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our bankruptcy, in the midst of our health reports, in the midst of the marital collapse, in the midst, and that hopefully, prayerfully, people would see Christ in me and you, the hope of glory, in the midst of the junk, and they'd say, I don't know what you got, but I know this, I want what you have. See, that's the point of your life when you're in Christ. Jesus says here out of the gate in verse 8, I love this, you know, the disciples, these are some interesting dudes, weren't they? You know, like he didn't go to the big seminary or the mega church. You know, he goes and gets the down and outers, so to speak, right? He says, I want you, 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 and you, blue collar dudes, follow me. And just like me and you, they ask some boneheaded questions, right? Self-centered questions, right? Who's going to be the greatest? What do they say here in verse 7? Well, they're wanting to know about Israel and its restoration. And Jesus is like, in his loving yet firm directness, just says, but this, but you shall receive what? You shall receive what? Power. Power. It's interesting when you analyze this, which I believe it's important for us to do. Jesus says, but you shall receive power. You shall receive. Think about this for a moment. When you receive something, especially in this Greek language, the original language, it means this: to accept what is offered, to seize, to lay hold of, to take up a thing, to be carried. Now that brings a whole new definition to you shall receive, doesn't it? Before I read this in its totality of the raw, meaty, weighty definition, think about this word power. It's the Greek word dunamis, and it's where we get our English word dynamite. Jesus says this, but you shall accept what is offered, you shall seize, you shall lay hold of, you shall take up this and carry it, this power, this dynamite that has been put within you. In my travels, from church to church to church to church to church, I would say the overarching commentary is we have a bunch of people inside the church house who are not infused with dynamite. At best, they might have a bottle rocket. And that's on a good day. And they might have a firecracker from time to time. No, Jesus, don't miss this. This is Jesus speaking. This is the one who, by his mighty right hand, creates the world. This is the one that we just sang about, that nothing is too big for him. This is the one we just sang about, amazing love. How can it be? How does a king, how on earth does a king die for his slaves? Like, how does that work? Only in Jesus' economy does that work. Because the way up in his economy is actually down. And so here he is, and he's saying, you shall receive this, you shall seize it, you shall lay hold of it. Church, you understand this today. So many people are living as though Jesus is still dead. Power. I couldn't help but think of it when I was reading the word this morning in a whole different text. I was in Luke 22, and there's the account of Jesus, and it's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know about this. He takes Peter, James, and John, and there they are. And of course, there's different accounts in the different Gospels. I was in Luke here reading 22, and I found it fascinating just as Jesus kept telling them to pray that you would not be led into temptation. That the secret to not going into temptation from that text there is that you pray. And not that you pray that God gives you everything you want, but you pray, God, conform me to your will, not the other way around. That you open yourself up as an empty vessel saying, oh God, this is what I desire. But Jesus prayed it right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. That's the hardest prayer you will ever pray. Like, if you want to know where you really stand with Jesus, start praying nevertheless prayers. And when your back's against the wall, and when everything looks like there is no hope and all hope is lost, and you begin to pray with passion, with fervor, oh God, this is what I desire, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will, you want to watch your world get turned upside down. That's power. Power. Couldn't help but think of Acts. And you got an Acts there where the account is as the demon spirit is doing his thing. He says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? By the way, that was not a compliment. Just in case you were wondering. Jesus I know. The demon knows Jesus. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. Paul, they know. We don't want anything to do with that dude. One of the worst commentaries of my life could be, Jesus I know. Paul I know. But John, who are you? Oh, no, we want to be people that are infused with power. Oh, we want to go light a candle on the porch of hell when no one else will. Even if none go with us, we will say, well, I'm going to still follow Jesus. We don't bend, we don't buckle, we don't break. We stand tall for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want the demons of hell to tremble when they hear your name. Amen. How are they going to do that? I mean, think about this for a moment. Are they really going to do that when you walk in your own power? Yeah, whatever. They are laughing all the way to the bank is what they're doing. Man, but you begin to walk in Holy Spirit power. But you shall receive, you shall lay hold of, you shall take firm grasp of this power that comes through the Holy Spirit. Oh, since my God is for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. We have this American church that's largely impotent, just powerless. Country club. Oh, they didn't have pumpkin spice coffee in the church coffee bar this morning. I got all bent out of shape. My best friend didn't say hi to me. Someone took my parking space. Then they spilled my coffee on me. My day is ruined. Hey, get your mind off yourself and put your mind on Jesus. Because you're walking in your own power. And no wonder your life and everyone else's life around you because of you is a disaster. We got to receive this power, and it's God-centric power. I made a note here, kind of key number one. I said, the power of my witness is from the Holy Spirit and not from me. I know it's kind of duh. You're kind of going, wow, that was original. How long did it take for you to come up with that one, preacher? Hey, I spent a couple hours on that one. I want you to know. Man, that took a while. Man. The power of my witness is from the Holy Spirit and not from me. It's a dumb moment, but man, why do we rebel against that? Why don't we walk in that? Like, it's there. I mean, it's there. But this flesh nature hates not being number one, right? This flesh nature hates. We hate it. We're like, we're in Jesus. We raise our hands. We raise our feet. We're praising God. And yet there's something about the flesh nature that hates not being numero uno, right? Man, we hate it. I mean, we hate to even admit it, right? That's how prideful we are. The power is there. Jesus says, but you will receive this. You will receive the power when you walk in Him. A couple thoughts here that just kind of rung in my mind. And going back to Luke 22:53 there, that Luke 22 I was saying this morning, I love what it says there, that, but this is you, and this is your hour, Jesus says, and the power of darkness. He's talking to all those that came to take Him. And you talk about power because there is another power. Now, the other power of darkness is in no way, shape, or form greater than the power of light, Jesus. But there is another power. We are in a war. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual war, Ephesians 6:10 and following. And we must be those men and women on the cross of Jesus Christ that say that I know who I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep which that I committed to Him until that day. That's power. It's power. People want to see that in you. They want to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. They want to see that you have power and that it doesn't reside from you, because they intuitively know it doesn't come from them either. And they're looking. That's why people look for something to dull the pain and fill the void. We subconsciously know we can't do it. We're looking for something, right? We're looking for something to self-medicate on. We're looking. I can't do it. I've tried. I don't want to admit it. I can't do this. And so we're looking. Jesus is the answer. And as they came to seize him there in Luke 22, Jesus is like, here's the deal. I've been teaching in the synagogue, and you're coming out with your clubs and your swords. You could have taken me a long time ago, but here's the deal. This is your hour, because it is the hour of darkness. We live in a dark time. But don't ever forget this deep theological truth. The light doesn't shine the brightest where it's the brightest. It shines the brightest where it's the darkest. As your light of your life is a city on a hill, that they would not glorify you, but they would see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Think about this. This biblical concept, I made a note here, was radical. Think about it. It was radical, and it changes the how, the when, the where, and the why that you witness for Christ. It changes everything. The entire book of Acts is all about accomplishing the work in the believer, through the believer, and beyond the believer. In the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit directs and controls and enables and regenerates and baptizes and sanctifies, and on it goes of what He does. If you are a true believer, you are filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. We talked about this, about the dynamite and the dunamis. And I want you to picture a car illustration, because I love vehicles, although the vehicles I have aren't that lovely. But that's okay, though. You know, my treasure's not here. My treasure's in heaven. Amen? I keep telling that to my family. But think about this, that when you come to Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit power, you no longer have a Pinto under your hood. You no longer have a Pacer under your hood. That brings back some memories, amen? Some bad memories for some of you, I'm sure. On the side of a road with a tow truck, right? Oh, no. You got a Hemi under your hood. That's what happens when Jesus Christ invades your life. He repossesses your life. He's not looking to rent a room in your life. We don't want to make room for Jesus with all the other clutter and the nonsense in our lives. No, we want Jesus, and we want to allow Him to foreclose on your life today. Take full possession of. He's not looking for you to be partially for Him. He's not looking for you to be a weekend warrior for Him. Raise a hand, say a prayer, do whatever, a cartwheel on Sunday, and then go live for self and sin Monday through Saturday. That's not what He's looking for. He's looking for total surrender to be a true disciple of the cross of Jesus Christ. No matter what challenge you're dealing with right now, no matter what brokenness, no matter what pain, no matter what heartache you're dealing with right now, do you understand this? That when you are in Christ, you are no longer a slave to fear. Isn't that beautiful? One of the greatest things that you can do today in the midst of your trial and disappointment, and as the losses keep piling up, and you're like, God, can I just catch a break? One of the greatest things you can do today is just take your hand off of what you're trying to micromanage. The more you micromanage the situation, typically the worse the situation becomes. But when you begin to let go and let God, He may not go your way, but there's going to be peace and joy in the midst of the struggle as you go His way. that he even said this in John 16:33, I say these words to you that in me, Jesus, you may have peace. He didn't say, I'm going to say these things to you. I'm going to give you a little pep talk so that in yourself you can have peace. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to write this soliloquy so that, you know, in the world you can have peace. No, he said that I'm going to say these things to you that in me, in Christ, you will have peace. And then he goes and flips this thing up on side its head and he says this, in this world you will have trials. Yeah. And we all respond, thanks, Jesus. That wasn't very nice. I like the peace part. And then you tell me my life's going to be a wreck. But he didn't end there, did he? Because then he said, but be of good cheer. Be of great joy. Why? Because I, Jesus, have overcome the world. If you're going to be an overcomer, you got to rest in the one who overcame. You will never overcome as long as you're resting in you. The only way you can overcome is to rest in the one who overcame. And the only one who has ever truly overcome the world, the only one who has actually risen himself from the dead is Jesus Christ, and that's my King. Amen. Amen. Think about Matthew 28. 18 through 20, two of the most potent bookends in all of Scripture. We call it many times in the Christianese speak, we call it the Great Commission, right? But if we're honest, many times it's been regulated to the Great Suggestion. Hey, if I get around to it, if I can fit it in my schedule, if I can see where it goes in my day, I might get around to it. But have you ever thought about this from a power standpoint? Listen to Jesus' words here in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. Listen to the power that's in these verses. Because you may be thinking today, hey, you know what? I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not gifted in this area. Here's the deal. No matter what your gifting is, the reality is you can't do this on your own. You can't. It's impossible. I don't care how gifted you are, because understand this, that if people see good things going on in your life and it's based on your giftedness, they begin to worship you. But when people begin to see good things going on in your life, great things going on in your life, and even though you're gifted, they begin to worship Jesus, that's the whole point, amen? Amen. Because they see who he is and where the power resides.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.